Along the lines that we talked about this morning, as we studied the question, what's on your mind, or holiness of mind. Tonight, I'd like for us to look at the subject of mastering your mind. There in Mark chapter 7, the chapter opens up with the criticism of Jesus by the Pharisees because Jesus' disciples, according to the Pharisees, are observed to be eating without washing their hands. They are accusing the disciples of eating with defiled hands. If you study the context, you'll see that this matter of washing the hands, while my mama always believed it was just the right thing to do, the Pharisees had taken it a step further, and they had actually allowed it to become a tradition of the elders, and it had become religious law to them, so that anybody who ate without washing their hands, and the washing of the hands was a ceremonial process. It was not necessarily an effort to make sure the hands were clean. The actual wording is they are eating with defiled hands, that is, unwashed. And then verse 3 gives a parenthetical explanation of what this matter was all about. It says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly." Now, the word "properly" is not a word which means the same thing that my mama taught me about washing my hands. I can't tell you how many times I got sent back to the bathroom. "Boy, go wash those hands again. Your hands are not clean. Do that again." This "properly," according to the Pharisees, was according to a ceremonial process. And so they had allowed this to work its way into the religious law of the day that if you ever ate any food, you had to ceremonially wash your hands before eating that food. The point that I want us to see is down at verse 20, where Jesus told them that this matter of washing the hands before we eat, while we understand it is a matter of good hygiene and there are certain physical ways that the health can be hindered by something that goes into the mouth and through the digestive system. For example, 4 weeks ago in Mexico, I don't know what it was, but I got hold of something that just pretty much laid me out for several days. It was no doubt something that I had taken into my body. But Jesus is saying, basically, that's not the main thing to be concerned about. Now, that is to be concerned for in a physical way. But Jesus said, you will not be spiritually defiled by anything that goes in. But he says, what defiles a person is what comes out. He explained it in verse 20. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person. In other words, that which comes out of the heart. There's a little process that everything goes through, and I'm sure we're all aware of it. I think that it is best stated in this little piece right here. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The thoughts from the heart motivate the actions. The actions, as we especially do the same actions again and again, become habits, don't they? There are good habits and bad habits. The habits become character. The things that we do are the things that we are known for. And the end result of the things that we do, the things that we're known for, is our eternal destiny. And so you see, it all begins with the thoughts. And that's exactly what Jesus is referring to here in this passage. He says, it's not about the bacteria or the germs. The Pharisees, mind you, were not concerned about the bacteria and the germs. Jesus says, it's not what goes in. It's what comes out that defiles us. And so the question that we need to struggle with tonight is, how well am I doing at managing my mind? There are several things that we could look at, but I'd like for us to pursue this study tonight in just exactly the same way we did this morning. We'll look at three key words, and the first one is here in on the screen before you, the word exposure. Exposure. What are we exposing our minds to? Now, you don't need me to tell you that there's a lot out there today that folks can expose their minds to. There's a tremendous amount of, we just call it stuff, for lack of a better term, that young people are really exposed to. You know, I believe this is an area that should be of prime concern for those of us who are parents and grandparents. Because there are a lot of those things that our children and grandchildren are exposed to that we have control over, or we have the ability to prevent their exposure to certain things as long as they're under our control. But it's not just the children and the grandchildren. It's all of us who need to be concerned for what our minds are being exposed to. Now, some people are really big on movies. Me, not so much. I hear people say all the time, hey, have you seen that movie so-and-so? And I've always got a really easy answer when I get asked that question. I don't even have to think about it. I always just say, nope. I'm just really not into movies. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with certain movies. You know, I remember the time, and some of you can too, surely, when people in the church thought that it was just absolutely wrong and sinful to see any kind of movie. Especially if you went to a movie theater to see it, you know, that just had to be awful. Well, we've kind of gotten beyond that, and there have been some wholesome movies out there that you could go and spend your, however much it takes to see a movie nowadays, but, you know, it seems like the good ones are probably in the minority now. So I'm glad I've got that easy answer that I can always, nope, never seen that one. I'm not big on movies. Now, give me a good book, though. And I'll tell you for sure, there have been many, many books that I've had to lay aside and cast away because once I got into them, I began to realize there was stuff there that I just really didn't need to have to expose my mind to. Not that it was something that was new and different, not that it was something I'd never heard of, but it was something that I did realize and did recognize, I really don't need to read this. This is not the kind of thing I need to entertain my mind with. And so whether we're talking about books, whether we're talking about movies, if some people are hung up on internet blog posts. I know some folks who can't wait to get a spare minute to check so-and-so's blog or so-and-so's post on Facebook or whatever. And I'm not dumb enough that I don't know. I'm not sure I said that right, Brother Harold, but I'm not so foolish that I don't realize that there's a lot of that stuff that's posted on Facebook and other things, social media, that you and I as Christians really don't have any business running through our processor. And so what are we exposing our minds to? Believe it or not, this is a matter, absolutely a matter of control. Because you see, you have control over what you expose your mind to. And sometimes exercising that control may not always be fun, may not always be popular with everybody else who's along for the fun. But doesn't it come down to a matter of controlling? We each controlling what our mind is exposed to. And so as we manage our minds, as we try or as we strive to develop holiness of mind, mental holiness, let's keep that exposure matter in mind. Number two, exercise. Exercise. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Are we exercising our minds in the proper arena? Because you see, there, and as we just discussed, there are some areas that our mind really has no business being in. There are some things that have no business coming into our minds, and when we see those things, we need to intercept them and get rid of them, get away from them, focus on something else. But here's something that'll help make that task easier. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ. Now let me tell you something. That doesn't mean you grew up with Him. That doesn't mean you were raised with Him like the kid next door. That means if you have become one with Christ by going down into and being raised up out of the watery grave of baptism. Let's put it in the simplest possible terms. Paul is saying, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, in the ultimate sense, if you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For, verse 3, remember the word for in the New Testament often means because. Because you have died, spiritually speaking, we've died to sin and have been raised up as new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, all things are become new. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now let's think about that proper arena wherein our minds need to be getting the right kind of exercise. There are obviously some places that our minds don't need to go. I think we covered that in point number one. But you know, one of the true marks of a healthy individual and even a healthy child of God is the proper exercise of the mind. Now, what does exercise do, generally speaking, besides make you miserable? It is normally entertained for the idea of improving the body, making the body stronger, making the body more healthy, making the body more flexible. And boy, I can tell you, I need some more of that. If exercise is recognized as a positive thing in the physiological sense. In a spiritual sense, the same thing is true of our mind. If we exercise our mind in the right arena, it'll make us more spiritually able, more spiritually active. It'll help us in all kind of ways. And so where does Paul say our minds need to be? He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things of the earth. Now, I realize that as long as we're living and breathing here on this earth, there are a lot of earthly things that we have to give our attention to. For example, my grass needs cutting right now. I mean right this very minute. And every minute that I wait, it's going to be a tougher job. You know, that's a very earthly thing. That's a very physical thing. That is something of this world. But there's no harm in it, as long as I don't skip church and mow grass. You know, there's nothing wrong with thinking about the fact that the grass needs to be mowed. Maybe the car is almost on E, and we got to remember on the way home, stop and buy some gas. You see, there are all kind of worldly things, earthly things that demand our attention if we're going to function as normal, reasonable human beings. And there's no such thing as a person who, as a Christian, cannot handle earthly business in the right way. But here's the key. We need to approach even the earthly matters with a heavenly mindset. That's why I said it wouldn't be acceptable to skip worship services and stay home and mow the grass. It wouldn't be acceptable to say, well, I didn't make it to worship Sunday night because the car was almost out of gas, and so we had to take a trip to the service station. And by the time we got that taken care of, you know, we'd have been real late, and so we just went on home. That's not really a heavenly mindset, a heavenly approach to settling that very earthly. Now, I realize I'm being ridiculously simple and foolish with some of these illustrations, but I think you understand the point. There is no such thing as separating our Christianity from our earthly lives. Whatever the earthly task is that we need to be accomplishing, we need to make sure we approach it with a heavenly mindset. I believe that's what Paul is saying here in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth, because you're different. You're not like everybody else. You've died to sin. You're alive in Christ, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's one more word that we need to pay a little bit of attention to, and this is the one that raises eyebrows. Exclusive. Exclusive. This kind of piggybacks on what we just said. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We need to be exclusive in our thinking. Now, the world all around us works really hard to try to get the message through to everybody. Being exclusive is wrong. I'm not talking about that kind of exclusive. I'm not talking about excluding people who need our attention. I'm not talking about pushing people away that we don't think measure up to our standards of social acceptance and so forth. That's not the exclusive thinking that I'm talking about. I'm talking about, again, as we've already discussed to some extent, the kind of things that occupy our minds. Beginning in verse 4, Philippians chapter 4, here's what Paul says, and I believe he gives us five factors here that will help us to be more exclusive in our thinking. And number one, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And there is the factor of joy. not rejoicing and joy in what I've accomplished, not rejoicing and joy over my bank account, not rejoicing in what I'm planning to do, but rejoice in the Lord. There's nowhere else that we should rejoice more than in the Lord. And if we will, as we said this morning in our study, if we will consider the importance of being thankful and grateful and recognizing all that God has done for us, that alone will give us adequate reason to rejoice in the Lord. Then he says, let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Reasonableness. Now this word is translated various ways in different translations. Moderation is a word that appears here in some texts. I like the English Standard Version, which says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. There is a sense in which we as God's people need to be known for our reasonableness. There is a sense in which we should be known for our moderation. This seems to be a concept that describes our overall bearing and the fact that we keep our efforts directed in the right way and on toward the right things. Reasonableness. Joy, reasonableness. Number three, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Number three is don't worry. Don't be characterized by earthly worries and concerns. You know what worry is? Worry is giving little things great big shadows. You ever thought about that? It's exactly what worry is. Giving little things big shadows. Worry is putting a question mark where God has put a period. Worry is implying that we're kind of a little bit afraid that God's not really going to look after us like He says He will. And so Paul's advice here to keep our thinking exclusive is don't worry. Don't be anxious. And then the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If a child of God does not have every reason under the sun to be at peace, then who could possibly be at peace? Okay, so we've got joy, reasonableness, lack of worry, peace, and then here's the icing on the cake, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The things that we're to think about. The things of God. The things that are just, pure, lovely. The virtuous things. The things that have to do with a good report. Not bad news, but of good report. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. want to leave you, well, remind you again of what we so noted this morning. This is a very important fact. Thoughts. Thoughts are the battlefield in the war for your soul. And so, what's on your mind? How well are you managing your mind? Because you see, everything that comes out of your mind is what either makes you or breaks you. It's what justifies you or defiles you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we're going to sing this song to encourage you. We invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.